This is Tony Alamo, and this is tape number 10 regarding the measuring, drinking the water, the flow of the Spirit, the flow of life of God. And Heavenly Father, Lord and God, we ask that you open the windows of heaven and pour out your Holy Spirit, your water, upon everyone. Lord, a true saint is one that is on the altar completely. And the true saints are the ones that are going to be judging the entire world. Lord, there's no way that we can judge the whole world unless we ourselves have been judged thoroughly with the full 4,000 cubits of your measuring. This means that we're totally on the altar and have the right to enter into the kingdom of heaven and have the right to judge the world and even the angels. Lord, open up the hearts and souls of everyone to not just hear these words, but become active people, active saints in this war between God and Satan. Lord, put your spirit in everyone enough to where they stay upon the altar 24 hours a day, one day at a time, every day, denying themselves and taking up the cross and following you. In the name of Jesus we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Ezekiel is a book of recovery. The recovery of the building of the house begins or starts from chapter 40, and by the end...
40 in the book of Ezekiel. Begins in chapter 40 of Ezekiel, then what?
And by the end of chapter 46, the building is complete.
The building is composed of all those who have laid their lives down on the altar of God. They've been measured, and the temple has been measured. In the first chapter, the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, it talks about measuring the temple and the altar. Let's find out, in other words, the Lord is saying to John, how many people measure up, have the 4,000 cubits in them, and that are all on the altar. And then he tells them, all those that don't measure up completely, that have not surrendered their entire life to the Lord, that there's even one bit of their being not on the altar. He said they're Gentiles, and put them outside the temple. Get the book of Revelation, chapter 11, and we'll read that passage. I believe it's 11:1. Now, measuring people, or measuring the saints, measuring the church and the altar, is a form, it's a judicial form. It's a form of judgment and measurement, inspection, weighing out. And this... honor belongeth to all the saints, the true saints that are on the altar. A saint is not just a person that's sitting in the church of God, but a saint is one that's totally on the altar, that is doing everything that the Bible says that you're supposed to do. Wives, love your husbands. That doesn't mean to starve them to death, like if you never even ask them if they need a piece of bread. You are weighed in the balances and found wanting. All you care about is yourself. All you do is go to the kitchen and get something for yourself, and never in the world ask your husband if he wants anything or needs anything. But all that comes out of a woman that has not been weighed, or she's been weighed, measured, and found wanting, is all she cares about is herself. Hey, can I have this, or can I have that? Can I have this and that? And husbands, love your wives. You're supposed to be concerned about their soul. You're supposed to be feeding them the fresh bread every day and being an example unto them. And you're supposed to take care of their welfare in general, and not only physical, but spiritual and monetarily. And there are thousands of things that the Bible tells us to do. And we are completely on the altar when we do them. We're measured to be a saint. If you're not completely on the altar, if you're not completely doing everything that the Bible says by easily doing it by the Holy Spirit? Or are you drinking the Holy Spirit by your drinking the water from the well, by your drinking the life of God to the full measure of the 4,000 cubits? If you're doing that, you're on the altar. And if not, you're not. And you have no desire to be on the altar. You just figure, I live once and I'm living for myself and that's it. And sorry, I'm not sorry to disappoint people that feel otherwise, but you'll have to go to some other church where they have another Bible. But this Bible tells us that we have to keep all of the commandments in order to be a saint. Amen?
Amen.
No matter how minute you think they are, or how miserable they think you are, if you think that any of the Lord's commandments are miserable, then you're miserable. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so go ahead and read verse 1, chapter 11, Revelation.
And there was given me a reed like unto a rod.
Okay, a reed and a rod. Okay, the rod is for judgment. Then what?
And the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein.
Okay, to measure the temple and the altar, and measure every one of you that worships therein. Are you keeping the commandments of the Lord, every one of them? Can you honestly say, then you're not on the altar, if you're not. And if you're not, and you pass away this evening, or tomorrow morning, or in the middle of the night, your soul is going to be in hell. There's just no excuse for it, saith the Lord. That's why he's always measuring, always judging, always weighing, always inspecting everybody, because not one spot, not one blemish shall enter the kingdom of heaven. If you will not believe the Lord for what you consider the small things, like eating off the tree, your own tree, wherever you want to eat, tree of the knowledge of good and evil, just that alone, by eating from a tree that they wanted to, which the Lord told them not to, everybody in the world had to die. So you shouldn't think of anything, or you mustn't think of anything, as being minute or small when it comes to the Lord's commandments. Just touching and partaking of one piece of fruit cause everybody in the entire world to have to die and be on their way to hell, and also cause the Savior, the Lord God, to come to the world as a man and die. That's how severe he is. He's so severe that he actually gave his own life, because the law cannot be excused, with the exception of hit through his blood and then the total obedience to his word. Do you measure up? No, you don't, some of you. And you better take it to heart, because up until this point, John, the Revelator, was an observer. But the Lord told him, okay, now you get busy and start measuring. You be a partaker of the work now. You're not to just simply observe what's going on, or listen and learn what's going on, but you're going to start measuring people to see if they really are a saint. Paul stated, beware of false brethren. Amen?
Amen.
Because there's a lot of them, and you can tell them, they stick out like sore thumbs, don't they?
Yes.
And they just hang their head helpless, because they will not help the body of Christ to be strong. And the Bible says that Satan would wear out the saints in the last days. And there are a lot of men. I saw Brother Aguri over in the Four Square Church, and I could tell his wife was unruly and that she wasn't backing him up at all. He was taking care of business for the Lord. I went to tell him that it was through his preaching that I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he was patiently, and he kept looking over his shoulder, but he just stayed right there with me, because I knew that the Lord was telling him to. And his wife was just like in a fury, walking off this platform into a back door that was behind the platform. And I knew that this man was a man of God at that time, for sure. But later I heard that he had fallen away. and that he had caught AIDS, and that his wife, he had divorced her because she actually helped throw his soul. And I'm sure that if he went to hell, that she went along with him. I'm positive of it. That's why people are to measure up themselves. The Lord says, judge yourselves. We're not to judge one another with our judgment, but we're to judge everybody. And we're going to judge the saints. We're going to judge the angel. We're going to judge everybody on the face of this earth, those of us who are saints, by the word of God. And the Apostle Peter said, judgment begins at the house of God. Amen?
Amen.
That's where it first begins. And so you better judge yourselves, every single one of you, whoever you are that's hearing this tape. Are you keeping all the commandments of the Lord? Are you totally on the altar? Is even one of your toes or little finger off the altar? It better not be. Not when the Lord comes, or you'll be like one of the 10 virgins, the 5 foolish ones, specifically, who had allowed the oil, the flow of life, to leave their bodies, to leave their spirits, their souls. And they cried out, oh, please give us some oil, because the Master is here to get us, the Redeemer, the Lord God. And anyone in their right mind would refuse them, because mercy had run out for them, because they had not given mercy, not to anybody on the face of this earth, not even including their own wives or their own husbands. They didn't support the church. When everybody in the world, every devil in hell was hitting the church or the head of the church down here, people were not helping them. They were starving them to death. They weren't giving them any food. They were putting everything away. They were trying to break the true saints of the Lord. And there's like hundreds of millions of these type of people in this world that will not raise one finger to help, because they don't have the flow of life in them. All they care about is their selves. But anyway, let's read that passage again.
And there was given me a reed.
Me, John is talking about me, him. No longer was he just a spectator. But now he's got to get busy measuring the whole church. And this process has been going on for quite some time. It just didn't start today, or it's not going to start tomorrow. It's ongoing. It's been going on for a long time. All the ways of the Lord are judgment. All of God's ways are judgment. And he's constantly measuring everybody to see if they're on the altar, to see if they're a temple of the Lord. The Lord is not dwelling in a half-baked person where it's sharing the temple with the devil, or he's not sharing it if you're 1% of you is being shared by you with the devil. If you're letting the devil in 1% or 0.5%, or 0.1%, it all has to be, the temple has to be measured thoroughly so that the Lord doesn't take one demonic thing into the kingdom of heaven. All of it has to be mortified, dead, all of the former life or the self life. Okay, read it again, please.
And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein.
Right, and so many people get upset because I keep measuring them. I keep judging them. A report will come in, and then I ask for an immediate counter because I want to measure to see which one is lying and which one is telling the truth, or if people are going to humble themselves and confess and repent. This isn't the Catholic Church. You have to finally come to the conclusion that you have to repent. Repent means that you change from a ugly looking caterpillar to a butterfly, and you don't go back to the state of being a caterpillar again, but you remain a butterfly, a beautiful butterfly, somebody that the Lord loves and wants to take into the kingdom of heaven with him. I would say that he wants to possess, because measuring is for the purpose of possessing, ownership. God doesn't want to own anything that is 1% off or an impediment, any more than anybody wants to buy a new car and pay the full price for it and have a big dent on one of the fenders, or to have a piece of the windshield busted out, or to eat food that has a little bit of poison in it. So that may be grim to you, but eternity, the Bible tells us that heaven is a beautiful, wonderful place where there's no hurting, no pain, nothing like that. And people that are expect to have healing, you have to be totally on the altar in order for that to happen. You say, well, I'm not going to do what the Lord says because I'm sick and I hurt all over. It's because of your attitude that you're not healed. When you're fully on the altar, you've given your heart, soul, mind, and strength unto the Lord. Every single bit of your life, your former life, on the altar, and you don't want anything for yourself but the Lord, there's no way you're going to be healed. You're going to continuously be in a state of hurt. Now that's the real truth. That's what the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
So if you're constantly hurting, then there must be something wrong in your life. And if people are doing something behind their husband's back, or if they're doing something behind their wife's back that they don't know about, the Lord knows about it, and you're not going to stop hurting for it. Hurt. Just keep hurting. Okay, can you read it again?
And there was given me a reed like unto a rod.
Like unto a judgment. The Lord separates with a rod the sheep from the goats, those that are going to be healed from those that will never be healed. If you think the pain that you have on this side of eternity is bad, wait till you get into hell. You're just getting a foretaste of what you're going to get there. The pain and the discomfort and the aging, the old aging, old witch, old evil person, instead of being the most beautiful creature ever that you could ever be. Okay, then what?
And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein.
Right, then we have to measure one another before we even get married. You have to measure, say, is this person of the Lord or not? If they're not walking with the Lord the same as you are, then they're not to be married to you in the first place. You're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, amen?
Amen.
Well, somebody that's not on the altar, they're an unbeliever. And a scummy one at that. Okay, now let's go back into the message.
In chapter 47, the waters are flowing out of the builded house.
It's already builded in 46. It's built up. Then the waters come out of the house. Amen? Aren't the waters supposed to be flowing from the saints?
Yes.
Aren't we the house of God, the temple of the living God?
Yes.
I mean, if you're a saint, if you're totally on the altar, you are, and God's going to be pouring forth his spirit, his life flow out of you, and you'll be used by the Lord. Then what?
The entire Old Testament is a picture book that can show us something concerning our situation today.
Right. It tells us everything today. Quite a bit of our situation today. Amen?
Amen.
Many pictures in the picture book, the Old Testament. Then what?
By the picture in Ezekiel 47, we are able to realize that the flow of the divine waters always comes out of the building of God.
Right. Where else could it come from but us, the building, the members of the building? Read it again.
By the picture in Ezekiel 47, we are able to realize that the flow of the divine waters always comes out of the building of God.
Can you keep going?
Today, we are in the age of recovery, and the flow of the divine life must be out of God's recovered house.
Yeah, if we're the recovered house, if we're on the altar, then the life comes out of us. It must come. It can't come out of people that are not recovered. It can't be out of selfish people. There's nothing that a selfish person can give anybody, because all they are involved in is their selves and their unsaved family. They're not trying to get their unsaved family saved. They're just selfish, a selfish clan of people. Those that are of the Lord believe, the Lord told me, you do my work and I'll do yours. In other words, if you win other people's kids, other people's children, and the children are the, talks about, on the next message I'm writing, I'm going to be telling about the kids, which the Bible says the kids and the calves. These are the future. These are the ones that the Lord really wants, these young, full of life, of the Lord's life, people that have all the strength and energy to do a great and mighty work for the Lord. And they have to get on the altar before that can ever happen. Everyone does. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so read that again.
By the picture in Ezekiel 47, we are able to realize that the flow of the divine waters always comes out of the building of God. Today, we are in the age of recovery, and the flow of the divine life must be out of God's recovered house.
Must be out of the building, the body of Christ, the church, the temple, the New Jerusalem, the future bride of Christ, the children of the bride chamber. Okay? Then what?
In most Christian worship services, those who attend have the sense or feeling of dryness, not of being watered.
Right, if you go, I've been to one Christian service after the other. Susie used to drag me around from one full gospel Christian businessman to the Christian fellowship men, to the different churches, the black churches, the white churches, the Chinese churches, all the different churches, everywhere, to the missions. I've been through the whole field. And every time I was in there and listening to them, most of the time, with the exception of Brother Aguri and Brother Fiaro and a few others at Four Square Church, I've never always had a sense of dryness. I didn't feel the flowing of life in there. I felt as though the Lord was standing outside the door someplace, that he wasn't really in the service. Okay, go ahead.
I've been to many other churches and heard their many teachings, and I had the sense of dryness because there was very little flow of the living water. There was hardly any flow because there was no recovery of the house of God, except for a few evangelists I've heard, such as Robert Aguri, Robert Fiero, and a few others. When a person enters into a home church, which is in a proper place with the Lord, a proper situation with the Lord, he will have the sense and feeling of being...
In other words, that proper situation is they're all on the altar. Everyone has sacrificed themselves totally onto the altar. They've given up the world, sin, Satan, and self. Then what?
He will have the sense and feeling of being watered. We always have the sense of our being watered when we get into our home church because of the recovery of the building up of the house of God. Where the house is, there is the flow of the living water.
But wherever the real church is, all the saints are on the altar, you can feel the flow. The people that think, what's the point of going to the church? Hey, these people are bad and I'm good and all this. There's no flow from a person like that at all. Not at all. I know there are some people in the church that have the flow, and there's some people that need to get fully on the altar. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
The flow of the living water.
Some of them are not even on the altar a bit. Maybe they occasionally put their little toe up on the altar and then they just pull it off pretty quick. Then what?
The flow of the living water is out of the house because the source, the fountain, the spring of the living water is within the house.
That's right. The Lord Jesus is in the house, amen, and that's why it has to come out of the house, amen?
Amen.
It can't come out from outside of the house, or somebody that's just self-willed and selfish, self-centered. It has to come out of somebody that's given themselves up to be used as a member of the body of Christ so that Christ can be in them and move out of them. They have to be broken. They refuse to be broken. They're stubborn, like witches. Then what?
This source is the Lord Jesus.
He's the source of everything. Amen?
Amen.
And what else?
He is the fountain, and now he has a place on this earth to locate himself.
Right. The home church is the location of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And there's so few churches that the Lord can call, this is my location here on earth. Amen?
Amen.
That's why the devil and all of his people try to destroy the leaders of the work and try to, the government rises up because it's the government of Satan to try to take away a location of the building or the center of where God is living. He wants to scatter the sheep. But we have enough Bible to know that we shouldn't scatter. Amen?
Amen.
The devil attempted that before on several occasions with me, but the Lord just let me rebuild, okay?
Yes.
And everyone else, there's a bunch of people that fell away. And I remember the times, many times, when Susie said in the services over in Dyer, she said, at least half of you people in this congregation or more will not make it into heaven. You will be shaken, because there's a big shaking going on in the world right now. And some of you will be shaken loose because she said she knew that there wasn't any fiber of Christ in them. And they will be easily shaken off. And God wants to keep those that cannot be shaken. Amen?
Amen.
Cannot be shaken. Okay? But those are the only ones who go into heaven. Now, you say, well, we can turn you in. We can turn you in for this or some false thing. Fine. Go ahead, because I don't care. That'll just give me the ability to prove all the more that I'm of the Lord. And that'll just prove all the more that you're of the devil. Okay, go ahead.
He has a place to dwell to get himself settled.
Yeah, the Lord wants to settle down in a home church. Amen?
Amen.
Wouldn't you, if you were the Lord, want to have a home?
Yes.
He said he wants a temple to live in. In my Father's house are many temples. Amen?
Amen.
Many mansions he wants to live in. He wants to settle down in you. For your own good. And if you won't let him settle in you, there are plenty of people that will let him do it. He has his church. He has his saints. And he's always had them here on earth. Always. And you shouldn't be so worried about accepting the Lord. You better worry whether he accepts you, because he's judging you every second of the day. You and me and everyone else. Don't be concerned like you're no big loss if that's the way you feel. You're nothing to him. You're a reject, something to burn and burn and burn and burn forever. Then what?
Those of us who meet together in the home church can testify that when we meet there, the Lord is there. But when we...
Amen. Do you feel the Lord here?
Amen.
Then this must be one of the home churches. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
But when we visit other church groups, we get a feeling or sense that Jesus hasn't settled there.
No, he's not settled down in there. Too much flesh in that place. Too much flesh. Too much self. Then what?
When I did, I had the sense that the Lord was outside the building, outside the door.
Yeah, when I used to visit different churches. So it's kind of, and then when I'd stand up, they'd say, would you give a testimony? And Susie says, don't you dare. And I'd get up and give it. They'd all give me dirty looks. She says, I told you, you nut. Case and she'd pinch me. These are Baptists. They don't believe in the supernatural. I told you that before you went in here. I says, well, you know, they call me to tell my testimony, and that's what it is, all right? She says, I'm not taking you to one of those places again. I says, good, I don't like it. I don't feel the Lord there anyway, right? Big deal. Okay, then what?
This is much like Revelation 3, where the Lord, as the head of the church, is standing outside the degraded church, knocking at the door.
It's a degraded church. There's a person that don't let the Lord come in. They're degrading. They're like a foul, evil, bird, vulture, cormorant, bitter, bat. Then what?
That's verse 20. in Revelation 3.
Miserable creatures.
Then what?
We did not have the sense that the Lord was settled there, so we were not satisfied or settled.
We're not satisfied there because we're not being watered there in that kind of a church. Amen?
Amen.
It just makes me want to run out of a service like that because I know the Lord's not there. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
So God called me to war to have a home church, a practical church, and live a practical church life. I had the sense, I knew that Jesus, my Lord, was there, and now I'm settled in Him and He in me. The Lord Jesus is within the house as our source of the living water. Out of Him, the living water flows. To have the home churches built up is a great thing. We have to pay our full...
Right, because it's part of the building. Amen?
Yeah.
That is a great thing because that's the only building that's getting into heaven. There's only one body, not two. The other body is Satan, but that doesn't count. That's chaff to be burned. Then what?
We have to pay our full attention to the house of God, and we have to stay in the house.
Right. If you're going to be on the altar, you have to give your full attention to the house of the Lord and to those that God is using in the house. You have to give your whole effort, your whole thought pattern, everything to that. And if you don't, you might as well forget about it. You might as well be out there doing all the things that your insane, depraved, degenerate mind wants to do, because you're not going to heaven anyway. Now get on the altar. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Ezekiel told us that the Lord brought him to the door of the house, 47 verse 1.
Yeah, He took him to church. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
We need to be impressed with our need for the house.
You don't, you're not impressed for the need for the house or to be fed? Well, then you're not of the Lord. If you know you need something, then you cling to it. You love it. But if you don't have any need for the Word of God or the house of the Lord, well, then you are like the hypocrites. You don't have any need of a physician. You don't have any need of the flow of the life of God in your life. You just feel that you're some kind of a standard of your own. And believe me, you're going to pay for it one of these days, because there's only one in whom there is life. Jesus said, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
There is much work in today's church, in today's Christianity.
Yeah, there's a lot to do. Amen?
Amen.
But very few people are doing it. They're placing it all upon one person or a handful of people. Then what?
But where is the flow?
Yeah, where is the flow? Then what?
There is a lot of gospel preaching, Bible teaching, and mission work, but where is the flow? There is the feeling of dryness and no feeling of being watered.
Yeah, ask yourself the question, do you water people? Are you a fountain of, is the fountain of life in you to water other people? Or the minute you leave the service, you get a wry looking smile on your face like you're really intelligent and strut around and start talking nonsense to your little friends? Then what?
Many are seeking Christianity but are not satisfied because of dryness, no water. They are seeking to be watered.
The people of the world want to be watered. They want to, but where do you find the water? Where is the flow? Then what?
Those who are seeking the Lord desire the flow of the living water. Out of the marvelous building of God comes the flow of the living water.
Right. If you're not a part of the building of God, there's no water coming out of you. And there's nothing entering you. You've got a hard heart, a hard head, and stinking feet, or stinking armpits. Something stinks, something of foul, and your soul stinks. Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alarma. Lord bless you.